Coming up on our final pre-holiday edition of BYU Basketball with Kevin Young, the Cougars keep rolling with back-to-back home victories. BYU's win streak now 7 games and counting. And in the spirit of giving, we're giving you the coach and guard Tyler Maruss. Coming up next on BYU TV and ESPN+.
BYU Basketball with Kevin Young is presented by Siegfried & Jensen, helping Utah families for over 30 years.
All right. Hello. Good evening. Happy holidays. Once again, Cougar Nation, welcome back inside Studio C at the BYU Broadcasting Building on the Brigham Young University campus right here in Provo, Utah, for our latest episode of BYU Basketball with Kevin Young. Your weekly look inside the Cougar basketball program with the head coach of the Cougs and a weekly special guest. We are joined by a live studio audience 1 hour earlier this week. Glad they're all here. And we are seen on the BYU TV app, ESPN Plus, and heard on BYU Radio via satellite, FM, and the BYU Radio app. Coming up on tonight's show, we will look back on a pair of Marriott Center wins as the Cougs reach the halfway point of their current 4-game homestand. Deep Blue will profile Tyler Maruss, who will then join us in Studio C as our special guest. We'll have a Christmas-themed test of wits featuring Tyler and the coach, audience members, part of our weekly Q&A segment, and we'll look ahead to a 2-game weekend for BYU leading into the Christmas break. And to get tonight's show on the road, let's bring back into Studio C the second-year head coach of your Cougar Hoopsters, Kevin Young. Yeah, those will come in handy later.
Let's go.
Yeah.
I'm going to set them right here.
Good call. Man, it's good to be, well, back in Studio C, of course, but good to be back home for your guys, meaning the Marriott Center.
Great to be back home. Energy in that building was great. Good time of year to obviously be home as well. And, had some good wins.
And some good crowds. Attendance of 18,000-ish for each of the last two home games. BYU right now ranks fourth nationally in per-game attendance.
That's amazing, and it's probably only going to go up from there, in terms of what's coming.
Of the top five teams, we're the only one officially over capacity, which is a good sign as well.
It is. I mean, I never take it for granted, neither do our guys. I was talking to some friends that were in town. It was their first time ever in Utah, first time ever at a game. And
are they from Georgia or
Texas?
No,
it was just a friend of the program. I think they're Southern Californian folk, and they were just couldn't believe the backdrop on the free throws,
Right.
And so
the rock.
It was amazing. Like I said, never gets old.
And BYU, with the great crowd rankings, the net rankings are also really solid right now. Number 6 in net. There are 3 Big 12 teams in the top 6 in net, 5 in the top 15. What a deep league right now.
Yeah, no, everyone's off to a really good start. And that's what makes league play so fun. Every night is Akash Sebastian, my analytics director. He said, we were talking about NBA. We were together with the Suns, mm-hmm. But he was just like, man, what's great about college? Like, every game feels like game 7. It really does. It's just all the preparation, the intensity. Mm-hmm. And once we get to the Big 12 play, it really does. Every game is just so intense.
It's still, there's a tendency to say, well, it's early, but by the same token, you're more than a third of the way into the season, and you played enough good teams and competition that the net numbers, for example, really matter at this point. Like, they mean something at this point.
Yeah, for sure. And again, like, for me, going through it all last year for the first time, not really understanding what many of those metrics meant and so forth, feel good about where we are and obviously have a lot of really great opportunities to continue to make that resume even more impressive, finishing up the non-conference, mm-hmm. and then obviously as we get into the Big 12, every night's a marquee opportunity.
One more net note before we drop it. BYU and Michigan have the most combined quad 1, quad 2 wins right now at 6. Michigan, we've already seen how great a team they look to be. So if you have Michigan as your company, that's a pretty good spot.
Yeah, no, they've done a great job. They built a really interesting team, pretty unique, but again, I mean, that's something – I've been pretty vocal about, we're trying to build, this program into being where that's not like
an outlier.
Outlier. Exactly. Yeah. Like that's the standard. That's where we're trying to build this thing to. And, it's just got to keep stacking the days and get there, both the recruiting, both with how we play on the court as well.
by the way, the 6 quad one, quad two wins, most in the Big 12 right now. I like the fact too, Coach, that a lot of the teams you've faced are playing well. Villanova's 8-2, UConn's 11-1, Miami's 10-2, Dayton's 9-3, Cal Baptist is 9-3, Clemson's 9-3. You've had teams that once they play you, go on and look good in the games after.
Yeah, obviously that's a big, you know, it's interesting how in with the metrics in college where you know those wins can age well, right?
They can hold up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so, you know, I find myself, you know, looking at scores, you know, every night.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, I think it just proves that a lot of those, and even in the exhibition season. I mean, look at what Nebraska's doing. I mean, they haven't lost. I don't think they've lost a game yet.
And they had the exhibition win over you.
Yeah.
And they've shown to be the real thing.
Yeah, they're a good team. You know, we were obviously down guys in that game and everything, but really good team. Carolina, I think they're 12th in the country, and so, you know, I think that's going to bode well for us as it already has in terms of, you know, having the experience against high-level teams, good coaching, and just good talent all around.
Let's talk a bit about the student part of student-athlete right now, because finals were a prominent feature at this stage of the year. How did that all work out?
I often joke that I'm like, oh, yeah, there's class. But, you know, I'm lucky because our academic team does a phenomenal job with our guys. You know, Jess Mullins, our academic kind of advisor and helping the guys get what they need. She does a tremendous job. But again, I think that speaks to being home this time of year as well, where guys can kind of tie up loose ends and make sure everything's going where it needs to there.
Now we're kind of into Christmas break mode, where the schedule is basically all basketball right now, isn't it?
Yeah, which is great. You know, we're able to, you know, our practice time's a little bit earlier in the day, which I like. And it just kind of it sort of breaks up the monotony of the season when you're able to kind of not have to do the same schedule every day.
And what the end of the semester means, too, is that your mid-year enrollees can get involved in your program officially. And you had a couple of them this year, right, in Abdullah Ahmed and KJ Perry.
Yep. And so that's, you know, excited to just beef up, you know, what practice looks like and mm-hmm. things like that. And there's a lot of nuances that go into all that, but, you know, excited all around.
Very good. Also, this current stage where your 4-game homestand is currently underway has given the bench a chance to maybe shine a little bit more. And you've seen an uptick in bench scoring, which comes at a good time as well.
It has. And honestly, you know, I think it's less about, you know, where we are in the schedule and more about just where we are as a team. With Dawson going down, you know, we had to make some decisions on who we felt like would best be able to get put in those situations. And then, you know, by chance, you know, Alexei has a great game, gets sick. Tyler comes in, he gets an opportunity, has a great game.
That's the same game, basically.
Yeah. It's crazy, right? And then even Hadeem, we've slid him over to at the 4 spot a little bit to see what that looks like. And so, yeah, I think it's a combination of where we are with the roster, but then also, you know, being able to fine-tune some things we head towards conference play.
All right, the holidays are almost here, kind of are here, and you don't leave town until Big 12 play starts in the first week of January. So this is a nice time to hopefully, once you get a couple more wins, maybe take a bit of a breath and have some family around. You got family coming into town for the holidays?
Yep, so my last year we went down and spent it with my family down in Arizona. This year, Melissa's family's coming in town, which will be great. And I was telling someone, I was getting my hair cut the other day, and the guy was like, I saw you on TV there. And I was like, we got to talk about Christmas. Uh-huh. And we were talking about the garden and all. I had played a game there in Christmas. And, you know, last Christmas was my first one in 8 years where we had no games, no travel, which is home. And so to follow that up this year with that same thing will be is something I love about coaching in college.
Yeah, benefit of college life. And your wife's family, Nebraska-based still? Or?
Yeah, so her Nebraska folks are coming. And then her sister lives in Hawaii, who's we'll be back out here. In fact, that's how I met Missy. Her sister and I were in the same ward in Provo, actually.
Okay.
And
were you coaching with the Flash?
I was. Yeah, okay. She was a student out here, and we were just buddies. And then Melissa came out and visited her. So it's a kind of a full circle deal all around.
And she'll have a little climate change to deal with as she comes from.
But say, hey, then we flip the script and go visit them, so it all kind of works.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
All right. Since we last got together here in Studio C last week, BYU played 2 games in the Marriott Center. Let's take a look back at some highlights and stats from both games presented by Intermountain Health. We're going to start with the UC Riverside game on Saturday night and bring you some player spotlights. And we're going to start with AJ DiBonsa. He filled every part of the box score: 26 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, career high. 5 steals, block shot 2, He said he could have scored 50 the way he was playing. Over the last four games, by the way, he's committed zero fouls and drawn 24 fouls.
I mean, you got to foul, right? Come on, AJ, let's go. Man, you got to be a little bit more aggressive. But, no, I thought in this particular game he was unbelievable. I mean, that stat line obviously says it all, but it's just – you know, I think you get mesmerized by these types of highlights, but his IQ, excuse me, his unselfishness, his defense, I mean, he's the total package.
Yeah, absolutely is. It's tough to find a hole in his game, which makes him absolutely impossible to defend at times.
It is, and because he's so unselfish and we have pretty good spacing around him, you know, makes it hard for the other team.
All right, Richie Saunders in the UC Riverside game. Kind of a solid Richie night. Richie ends up with 19 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. He makes 8 of his 12 shots from the field, so a very efficient night. Made 2 of his 3 threes. And again, you never want to take what he does for granted, but like AJ, one of those guys that does everything a coach would want a player to do.
Yeah, I mean, he's rock solid and steady. You know, he's the guy that brings it every night. You know, he scored it well in this game. You know, been doing a lot of deep studying of how we can just help Richie get to his spots a little bit better. Did some deep dives, you know, analytically and shared some stuff with him. And I thought in that game he got a couple different play types, some of these little pitch backs and stuff like that, which he carried over into last night's game as well.
It was a good night for the bench, and Alexei Kostic was a big part of that. He scored a career high 15 points, career high 22 minutes as well. He was efficient, 5 for 8 on his threes, and his 4 assists were a career high in his young BYU career.
Yeah, no, he played great. You know, he's got such a quick release, that shot in particular in the corner.
Yeah.
You know, that's what he brings to the table. You know, he's a guy that can really space the floor, I think differently than the way some of the other guys can, because he gets it off so fast if you leave him open. You know, we've seen it going in practice. It was great to see it going in the game. I know that'll be a big confidence booster for him.
He was a relatively late addition to your roster relative to when the season was going to start. How nice was it to be able to add a piece to your puzzle that late in the game?
You know, he was someone we had our eyes on early in the process of that cycle. You know, he went on to play with the Austrian national team.
The senior national
team,
right?
Yes, senior national team. So he had some experience. That's part of why he came later in the summer. But you know, we've known about him for a while, and he's come in and played well.
As has Hadeem Boop in the Riverside game, his first career double-double, career high in points and rebounds, 12 and 10. He was a solid plus 22 in 18 minutes, and we just kind of see the development, the growth, kind of game by game, becoming more of what you want him to be.
Yeah, I mean, his motor obviously is what gets him on the floor. Just his intensity, and so now it's all about channeling that and doing it under control, being able to execute coverages, execute plays, and still have that motor. But it's hard to teach his size, his athleticism, and that nonstop motor.
All right, BYU broke 100 against UC Riverside for the first time this season, a second time since you've been the head coach. Final score 100-53, BYU over at UC Riverside. You see the numbers of note as the Cougars picked up their 9th win of the season. They pick up win number 10 in their following game, and let's get to that game. And that was last night's matchup, BYU and Pacific. It was BYU meeting with a WCC team for the first time since BYU left the conference after the 2022-23 season. BYU had won the last 6 Marriott Center meetings with the Tigers. Let's get into BYU and Pacific, some more player spotlight packages. And we'll start this time around with Richie Saunders. Richie led BYU in scoring last night, Coach, 24 points. He's 5 for 7 from the field, 2 for 3 from deep. Makes 11 of his 12 free throws after drawing 8 fouls, and is a career-high 5 steals, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, a really full box score for Rich.
Yeah, I thought our defense really allowed, you know, him and us to get out in transition. And that particular play where AJ pitched back to him, that's something we've been working on in transition. But, you know, I thought the defense really ignited, you know, his 5 steals. I mean, I got to, you know, Tim Fanning, I got to give him a lot of credit for how active he's helped Richie be defensively, just, you know, getting his hand on so many different passes, allowing, you know, us to get steals, get out in transition. But again, in that game, I talked about studying some play types with Richie. You know, he was finding some what we call get game, where he just throws it to the big and comes back to get it and able to get shots off that way. Trying to just find different ways, because teams are guarding him a little bit different this year. You know, I don't think he has as much space individually to operate. So just trying to, you know, mix it up and give him different ways to do what he does best, which is shoot the ball and then play off of a closeout. So I was happy to see, you know, the way he was kind of varying his attack in that game.
You mentioned Alexei's trigger a minute ago. I don't know that there's a faster shot than Richie Saunders. You've coached at the highest levels. Where does he kind of rank in terms of the ability to get it in his pocket and get it up as quickly as possible?
Yeah, it's amazing, especially on closeouts. You know, if you close him out with any kind of space, he's able to get it off extremely fast. But again, you know, Alexei, I think he's going to sneak up on people. Richie's not sneaking up on anybody. So it's just a different mentality that you have to have. And I think he's so good at, you know, driving the ball hard off those if they are getting too close to him. Mm-hmm. And so his ability to kind of do both, especially when he's getting it off as quick and he's making those quick decisions, it's really hard to guard.
Gotcha. Let's get to A.J. DeBonsa now. 23 points, four straight games with 20 or more for A.J. He's the first BYU player to do that since Tyler Hawes 11 years ago. It was also his first career double-double, as he had 10 rebounds last night. He added two assists, one of his three steals you see there. A.J. was outstanding.
Yeah, he was. And again, I think it really ignited because of our defense. You know, he was up in the front of some of our three-quarter court pressure, getting his hands on a lot of balls. And then I think a key thing for him, and I know his dad, who I actually just saw in the crowd.
Ace in the crowd.
We'll be happy to know about the career-high 10 rebounds.
Yes.
You know, he's been all over A.J. and me about having him rebound. And, look, when he's able to do that, one, defensively, when he gets the defensive rebound, it gets us out in transition, you know, and it puts so much pressure on the other team. And then offensively, where I've been on him a lot is, you know, we talk a lot about offensive rebounding. You know, it's different when he goes because he's got the 7'1" wingspan. He's super tall. He's got an unbelievable vertical. So when he goes, he's going to actually get the offensive rebounds. And now we're asking him to do a lot, obviously. And sometimes it becomes like a I'm out of gas thing. But when he goes to get rebounds offensively, you saw it in the Clemson game totally changes. And so that'll be something big for him as we kind of carry throughout the season.
Excellent. Robert Wright III last night. 22 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 5 steals. What a line. 16 of his 22 came after halftime. He was perfect at the free throw line. His shooting numbers this year, 48% field, 44% three, 84% stripe. Great for a point guard. A 2.33 assist to turnover ratio as well. Another great point guard number.
Yeah, no, I think the game is, you know, you hear this phrase sometimes with players, the game is slowing down for him. You know, he's so fast and gets wherever he wants to, and his ultimate ceiling is just predicated on decision making, you know, and when he makes the right decision, I think we're one of the best offensive teams in the country. And I think he's growing every day in that aspect. And then you tack on the ability to make open shots, you know, especially playing alongside A.J. and Richie. They get so much attention. Mm-hmm. And when he has the ability to stretch the defense like that as well and make timely late shot clock type shots as well, you know, he's doing everything we ask. And then you tack on the 5 steals and being able to give us something on the defensive end. I mean, that's an unbelievable night for him.
Speaking of the shot makers, a guy that fashions himself as one, that's Tyler Morus, tonight's special guest. He was a perfect 4-for-4 from the three-point line last night. In the last 20 years, he's one of only 5 players to play 20 or fewer minutes a game and be perfect from the three-point line with at least 4 attempts. He was 4-for-4. He made more threes last night than he'd made all this season to this point. Took his first free throws of the season, made all 3 of those, made great use of his minutes on a night when Alexei could not play. So happy to see Tyler have that kind of game last night.
Yeah, it was great to see the ball go in for him. He's had a lot of great moments in practice. He had a great summer. You know, had battled a little bit of an injury. You know, I think that slowed him down. But look, I mean, it was a matter of time before he was able to make shots in a game. The guys were finding him and he was delivering. Just proud of his ability to stick with it. You know, it hasn't gone his way like the way he would want to so far. And so he got his number called and he was able to deliver.
Tuesday's assist count is presented by Siegfried and Jensen, assisting Utah families for over 35 years. And BYU had 16 assists, but as important as the fact, there were only 9 turnovers. BYU's had single-digit giveaways, Coach, in 7 of your 11 games, 9 or fewer in 7 of 11.
Yeah, I mean, look, at the end of the day, you know, the game of basketball really is just one big math equation, right? And you got to score more points than the other team. You can't score if you don't have the ball, right? And that's why turnovers are so critical for us, both not turning it over, but also trying to turn teams over. And you go to the rebound count, right? And that's where you can really keep that ledger balanced towards our way. And then with the offensive prowess we have, we feel like if we're not giving the ball up, we're going to be able to do a lot of damage.
It's been that case. Let's take a look at final stats as BYU beats a familiar foe in Pacific at home last night. Final score at 93-57. BYU's now won 42 consecutive games when scoring 90 or more. Good number to get to. And there you see Tyler Morales leading the bench brigade with that 15-point night, the same 15-point number that Alexei had on the weekend. All right, another 2-0 start to a four-game homestand. Time for our first break. And this reminder that your day-to-day Cougar sports play-by-play happens on BYU Sports Nation. Join Spencer Linton and Jerem Jordan weekdays at noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio. When we come back, we'll go deep blue with Tyler Morales as BYU basketball with Kevin Young continues. Stay with us.
BYU Basketball with Kevin Young is brought to you by Siegfried & Jensen, helping Utah families for over 35 years. Deseret Book, home to real-life stories of faith, grit, and hope. Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU Athletics. Ken Garf, we hear you. And Brady Plus, delivering the right supplies plus support to ensure businesses are more successful.
Back in Studio C, and welcome back to BYU Basketball with Kevin Young. Time for this week's episode of Deep Blue, presented by Deseret Book, home to real-life stories of faith, grit, and hope. Dive deeper today at DeseretBook.com. Tyler Morales is no stranger to dark moments, both literally from beginning his career in Fairbanks, Alaska, and figuratively after suffering a horrific injury while playing at Idaho. But Tyler's journey to Provo is a story of resilience and perspective. Here now, Deep Blue with Tyler Morales.
When I first got to Fairbanks, Alaska, there was actually no snow on the ground. I thought it was honestly more beautiful than Washington, the state I'm from. And then winter came pretty soon.
He'd go practice, it's dark. They finish up, it's dark. He walks up in negative 20, negative 30 degree weather, walks back up to the dorm, it's dark, it's icy. There was a moose one time.
The seasonal depression's real. It's real because it's hard when you wake up and you don't even see the sunlight all day because you're at practice the whole time and you only get 4 hours and you're in a new situation with new people that you've never met. First week on campus, we started doing open gyms, and you know, I was talking trash, I was getting up into dudes, and they're like, all right, this freshman's a little different. But yeah, I definitely had to prove myself when I first got there.
He felt confident enough what he had been able to achieve at Fairbanks, and felt confident gambling on himself to put himself in the portal to and see what kind of opportunities might be out there for him.
What I learned from Alaska is how much I love basketball and how strong of a person I am. I won't give up, but I felt like it was my time to rise up and go to a level that I knew I could play at.
After Tyler left Fairbanks, he had a few different offers, but the one he chose and decided on was to play for the Idaho Vandals. They got to play Washington State the first game. And then the second game, it all changed for him.
You know, I was on a heater. I was 4 for 4 from three. Like, I was feeling myself. The crowd was loving me. They had a breakaway, and I went up for a block. And right when I went up, I got hit in the air and kind of twisted my body in a weird way. And when I came down, I totally destroyed my left leg.
I was sitting on the couch, and I immediately squealed. I'm pretty sure there was an actual squeal. And Thomas has got his face covered in his hands, and we're both silent. And the announcers say, this is a gruesome injury, we're gonna stop showing. And we are 5 hours drive away from our son.
I've worked my whole life to get to that moment, and then just like that, it was gone. And it hurt more than anything ever, even probably more than the injury. all that hard work that I did just wasted. It felt like it was gone, like my moment, my opportunity was gone.
So following his surgery, we spent about a week in a hotel near the hospital, where even the day after surgery, he had the team trainer come pick him up from our hotel and take him to practice. The coaches asked him to stay home. He went to practice.
Because I had a little taste of what Division I basketball was like, and I was going to prove everybody wrong. I knew a lot of people weren't going to think I was going to come back, but I knew who I was, and I had people around me telling me who I was.
Just as a little side, a guy named Jordan Travis, the starting quarterback for Florida State, he suffered a very similar injury to Tyler. He ended up getting drafted, but he ended up having to retire because he just couldn't make it all the way back from the injuries. And that's just kind of sobering to think, well, not everybody can do that. Tyler has always been such a get after it, I'm nothing stopping me mentality that I think I've taken it for granted to certain things. Like, absolutely, he's going to make it back from this.
It was probably 6 months of limited activity or no pressure at all on the leg. It was much slower than he wanted. In fact, when he came back and was allowed to do limited activity, he did too much and had to step back into the boot because Tyler, being Tyler, pressed too hard, too fast, too anxious to get back to the thing he loves.
So when I was coming back, I wasn't the same player and I had a lot of mental battles going through it. I put a lot of pressure on myself to be the player that I was, even though I wasn't. And I wasn't gonna be that summer. And I wasn't even gonna be at the beginning of the fall. But putting that pressure on myself just made me play even worse. And it made my leg hurt even more than what it was. And then going back in the fall, my coach, Coach Laird, took me out to lunch and he pretty much changed my life. He pretty much told me that, you know, one, you gotta start enjoying basketball more because you missed a whole season of it and now you're doing it again. And two, nothing that you do in your life now is as hard as what you had to go through. And you gotta put that in perspective. And you just gotta enjoy every moment that you're out there on the court like you were playing basketball for the first time.
Good afternoon, Cougar basketball fans. Welcome courtside inside the Marriott Center. Today it's the 3-0 BYU Cougars to the 1-2 Idaho Vandals.
I mean, he lit us up. he was really good. And I truly remember us going back to the locker room and say, hey, I don't know if anybody played as hard as number two on Idaho today. When we were in the recruiting process, it was funny. When his name entered the portal, we all looked and said, oh yeah, we remember that guy.
He does a good job, in my opinion, of towing the line of that humility and that confidence. And I like that about him.
I'm most grateful for the journey. The whole process, because I wouldn't be at BYU because if it wasn't for those two schools before it, the good and the bad. I think I wouldn't be as good of a player as I am today without going through the trials and tribulations that I went through. And also the people that I met down the way. Now that I'm at the Big 12 level, sometimes I lay in bed and I'm like, man, I'm living my dream right now.
I would tell Tyler that I am immensely proud of you. And there is no bigger fan. I drive the Marest bus. I drive it. Get on board because this kid is amazing.
Yeah, it makes his night last night feel a little more special when you see all that he's been through.
Yeah, tough kid, unbelievable, comeback story. I think it just kind of personifies like who he is and just the belief in himself. I think you see that when he plays the game, just the confidence level. Great family too. Got to meet his mom came when he came on his visit, so that was a great piece.
Now that we've gotten to know Tyler, let's get to know him a little bit better. Please welcome into Studio C tonight's special guest from Bothell, Washington, number two, who specializes in threes, Tyler Maruss. you. Thank you. Well, were you able to see a little bit of what we just showed our audience?
I did. I liked it.
Yeah?
Did a good job.
You know the story, but what was it like to see the story?
Honestly, I think I have some special parents, and I have some special people around me. I think that's what that video you guys saw reflected. And it also kind of brought out a lot of emotion, honestly. It's been an emotional journey for sure.
Well, we're sure glad the journey's brought you to Provo, for sure. Growing up, Bothell, Washington, it's a little suburb northeast Seattle.
Yeah.
And that must mean University of Washington's top of mind if you're there. Your mom played soccer for UW?
Yeah, she doesn't like talk. She actually played like on the intramural soccer team. She, growing up, I thought it was actually like the actual UW soccer team. And that's what I would tell my friends. And then my mom had to tell me, like, hey, no, okay, I was intramurals.
But she was still playing soccer at Washington.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. Exactly. But yeah, grew up big UW fan though.
Okay. So, was that a school that you kind of had sights on, or how did that all work out?
100%. And, still to this day, I still don't like the UW basketball program. still to this day, I went to
all. Because they passed you up?
Oh, yeah. Many times. I went to their camps growing up, even after my freshman year when I gave them like 20 points when I was at a D2 school, and they still didn't want to give me any love. So I saw we might play them next year, so hopefully we can be playing pretty good.
You were a top 10 all-time scorer for Seattle Prep. Seattle Prep was your high school?
Yeah.
All-time record for free throw percentage as well. Do you remember what your number was? Was it in the 90s?
It was probably in the 90s somewhere.
Okay, good. You mentioned D2, Alaska Fairbanks, or Alaska. They sometimes just call it Alaska. That's a D2 school.
Yeah.
The Nanooks.
Yep.
What does Nanook mean?
I think it was polar bear.
It means polar bear. Yeah, yeah. Very good. Well done.
Yeah, yeah.
Good job. Alaska Fairbanks, or Alaska, gives you your first shot. And after a year at D2, like you saw in the piece, you knew you were ready to level up.
Yeah, 100%. It was a tough year, but like, after, like I said, that UW game, I was like, okay, yeah, like, I'm here. Like, I'm that type of player. I can play at this level. And I just, like, it was a tough year, though, for sure. Like, the mental battles, just, like, the weather and stuff. Just being away from my family. Honestly, like, being in Alaska, you kind of feel like you're away from the world, honestly. Like,
so remote. And
yeah, like, I bet you that Fairbanks probably has, like, 10,000 people. But it doesn't even feel like that. It probably feels like 1,000. But yeah, after that season, I was like, yes, it's my time to level up. And then ended up at the University of Idaho.
And we see the story of the injury and how you recovered from that. And Coach Dunson, Coach Young, in the piece, you know, said he left quite the impression when he came here last year.
Yeah, he did. You know, just the confidence. I think the swagger. You know, when you're a shooter, man, you got to live like a shooter. That's why I say that all the time, you know. You know, Trevin had it, you know, Tyler has it. When you're a shooter, man, you just have a certain just edge about you like I said in the piece, is the toe in the line of this cockiness with the humility, and he certainly had that.
Yeah, we see the clips there from the BYU game last year. So last night's game where you made four threes was not the first time you'd made four threes in the Marriott Center before.
Yeah, that was a similar feeling I've had before.
Exactly right. You had a team-high 17 points in 37 minutes in that game we just saw, and 4 for 8 from deep. It was time to go in the portal after the Idaho, second year of Idaho. How did the BYU connection come together?
It was definitely Coach Dunson. Well, actually, it was my boy back home, Mikey Henn, who played for Coach Dunson at the University of Denver.
Okay.
But I was on my visit at East Carolina, and this guy hit me up like at the tail end of my visit, and I was like, okay, yeah, they're for real now. So like, I knew what BYU was all about. Like in the back of my head, one of my teammates was a LDS at the University of Idaho.
Okay.
And after that game, he told me, he was like, how cool would it be if you played here next year? And which is crazy, it's really full circle, just being here now. But it honestly feels like a dream come true. I never would have thought that BYU would like be my dream school, honestly.
Coach Young, when you reached out, what did you foresee for Tyler?
Well, I have to say this. What I didn't foresee is when I was walking out of the Marriott Center the other day and I saw Tyler like gazing up into the bricks of the Marriott Center, like these cameras. And I'm like, dude, is Tyler like doing a modeling shoot? It was for the piece. Okay, so I'm glad that I understand.
You saw the outcome of
that. Okay. So that was very head scratching, but I'm glad we got that cleared up. But last night's why we brought him here. You know, like you talk about AJ and Rob and Richie, you know, once AJ decided to come here, we kind of pushed pause on all of our other recruiting efforts with high school players, and we knew we wanted to go out and get guys that could space the floor and guard their own man, bottom line. You know, Tyler's the guy that can do that. And, you know, like I said, that edge, that kind of swagger about it, mm-hmm. himself as a shooter, you know, and it's reared its head. The UConn game and the Wisconsin game in particular, then last night as well. So hopefully, you know, we can build on that moving forward.
And Tyler, the confidence you have in yourself, you joined a loaded roster mm-hmm. With a lot of guards. As it turns out, with a couple of guards going out to season-ending injuries, you know, more time has been needed. But you clearly joined a situation where you're going to have to fight for your time to be on the floor, and that seems like it's part of your makeup.
Yeah, I mean, growing up, like, I've been scratching just for any opportunity that I've gotten. Clearly, I mean, I had to go D2 to breaking my leg to just getting here. So, you know, like, I've had to work and claw and scratch for every opportunity that I've gotten. Nothing's been given to me. And I knew that coming in here. And I told Coach Young, like, that's fine by me. Like, I've had to do that my whole life. I'm okay with proving myself because mm-hmm. I know who I am and the type of player that I am.
What's been your BYU highlight, either personal or as a team, through 11 games so far? What's been the most enjoyable moment as a Cougar for you?
It was definitely a TD Garden. I think that even though
in
we
Boston,
didn't get the
yeah, against UConn.
Even though we didn't get the win in that game, just like I've never been in that type of environment before, like in an NBA arena like that. And I thought we were gonna win that game for a second against yeah. I think at the time like a top three team in the country. And I think that was actually my first basket of the season coming in that game.
Late so, in that game.
Yeah. Yep. So that was a pretty special moment. I would say that for sure.
Okay. On this show, Coach Young provides a lot of commentary on players' highlight clips. It's a big part of the show. But tonight we're going to get a rare chance for a player to comment on a clip of Coach. It's not from his collegiate playing days.
Uh-oh.
But it is a never-before-broadcast video of Kevin Young showing that he's still got it. Tyler, let's get your perspective on this.
Oh, wow.
Hey.
Whoa.
Let's go. That was definitely a few years ago. Take it. Come on, Tyler, what you know about
you got, that? You got bounce?
I hope that makes the circuit on the internet. Let's yeah. go.
So what's the context behind that, Coach Young?
It's actually in Omaha, my wife's home ward building. We were playing pickup, I think, and her dad, who was always questioning my athleticism, give me the ball, let's go.
He may or may not have been the source of that video. What kind of
for you too, buddy? Yeah.
What kind of vintage are we talking about? How many years ago would that be?
Man, that was probably, I don't know, 10 years ago. Maybe.
Okay.
Hold up. Now the next show or sometime in this season, we'll have to find one. Granted, it was a volleyball. This was last year in the annex. Took one down. Wife has that one on her phone. I'll make sure Ace gets
the So the question's already been answered. Could you do that again? The answer is maybe yes.
I wouldn't put it past me.
Okay. I love it. Okay, let's do this. Break time. We come back. We'll get to our Fun and Games Test of Wits segment with Tyler and the coach. Stay with us. This is BYU Basketball with Kevin Young. BYU Basketball with Kevin Young, presented by Siegfried and Jensen. Tonight's Fun and Games portion of the show, we're into it now. We are playing a segment we are going to call, in the spirit of the holidays, the Mary Maruss movie matchup.
Okay.
Mary Maruss movie matchup. Here's how it's going to go. We're going to be testing your Christmas movie knowledge. Mm. I'll ask a question about a popular Christmas movie. And Tyler and Coach will each write on their whiteboard what they think the answer is. We'll then see who's correct. Both can get points. That's okay. Whoever's the most points at the end of the game wins. You ready? Here we go.
Let's do it.
Number one, what is the name of the main character in A Christmas Story?
Oh,
that young man right there. What is the name of that young feller?
And I'm so bad at movies.
A Christmas Story, that character. Tyler, I think, is already pretty solid with this. Kevin Young is searching the recesses of his memory. Okay, what do you think, Tyler? He says Ralph.
Oh, Frankie.
And Frankie, Ralphie. So we're going to go with
it's
like a combination.
That's going to be like a half a point each, right?
Okay.
All right, Ralphie, in the original Home Alone movie,
okay, this
what is the nickname of the burglars? What are the burglars' nicknames?
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
They went by a moniker. They went by a nickname. They were the blank blank. Tyler
this is
again.
Like the only Christmas movie I know about.
what do you think, Tyler? He says Wet Bandits.
Wet Bandits.
We got Wet Bandits. Wet Bandits is correct.
There we go. Home Alone, that's
great. Great movie.
Great movie.
Great movie.
All right, this movie's about 31 years old.
Oh, boy.
It's a Tim Allen special, The Santa Claus.
Oh, okay.
The Santa Claus. Tim Allen's character, named Scott Calvin, what was his occupation before becoming Santa Claus? What was his occupation in the movie before becoming Santa Claus?
This is going to be a shot
in the
dark.
This is the first one Tyler hasn't jumped all over. So
it's a shot in the dark.
Mine's also shot in the dark.
All right, Tyler, what do you think? Lawyer?
CPA.
CPA. Toy salesman.
Wow, that was not close.
Rather fitting, though, I think. Yeah. All right, in Frosty the Snowman, whose hat brings Frosty to life? In the movie Frost, this is an oldie, but this is Days of Yore. This is my era. All right, Frosty the Snowman, whose hat brings Frosty to life?
Total guess here, no clue.
And Tyler is shaking his head as if this is not going to happen.
Just gonna.
All right, Tyler says Margaret. There could be a Margaret. Annie. We're going to go with the magician.
Okay.
The magician's hat. The magician's hat. Okay. All right. We are going back to A Christmas Story. What gift does Ralphie want more than anything in the movie A Christmas Story? What is his desired gift?
Oh, but I don't know that.
And a bonus point if you're really specific on this.
Oh, I almost cheated. I'm not going to cheat. I'm going to stick with
Okay, okay. You say... A red rifle?
That's not the lamp, but
not
the
lamp.
I mean, come on.
The Red Ryder BB gun.
Yeah,
Red Ryder BB gun. So I guess we got to go with Tyler on that one.
The lamp, though. It's
the
iconic.
Lamp, exactly.
It's iconic. Come on.
The leg lamp is a classic. In How the Grinch Stole Christmas, another classic, what is the name of the town the Grinch lives near?
Oh, I know that. I do know this one.
Coach is confident? The Grinch lives near the town of...
How do you spell it, though?
I think you're in the right direction there. Tyler, you say Whoville, and that's actually spelled correctly, Whoville. And so is Coach. Whoville is the correct answer. Well done, yes.
Let's go.
Good job. Yeah.
Let's go.
All right. The Polar Express. The movie out there, The Polar Express.
Okay.
What magic item signals belief in Santa? What magical item signals belief in Santa in the movie The Polar Express? Nothing's happening on the whiteboards on this one.
What
magic item signals belief in Santa? Does the audience have a sense of this one? We got some people? Okay, they clearly know. Okay.
All I remember on this is like there's like a, which is not the answer. Go ahead.
Tyler, what do you got? A bell?
Talk to me about the ticket. Isn't there like a ticket?
The magic ticket.
Like the ticket.
There is a ticket, but the answer is? The bell. Yeah, okay. Tyler's right on this one. Good job, Tyler. Well done.
Totally got that on my own.
We're back to Home Alone.
Okay.
We're back to Home Alone on this one.
Let's stay at Home Alone.
Let's stay there. What is the name of Kevin's mean older brother?
Jeez.
Oh.
That guy right there. What's his name?
Oh, here we go. Don't look at my
The name of Kevin's mean older brother in the original Home Alone. Coach Young was all over it. Tyler, less so.
Yes.
He's saying Zach. And Coach saying Buzz. It's Buzz. Yes. Give it to Coach.
Buzz.
Give it to Coach. We're back to the Grinch. Who is the little girl who befriends the Grinch? Whether it's the animated version, the movie version, it's the same name. Who's the little girl who befriends the Grinch? And she lives in Whoville. She is a who.
If anything, I'm consistent.
She is a who. Do you have one?
Yeah.
Okay, what do you got? Mary Lou who? Annie again. Loves the Annie. Cindy Lou Who.
Cindy
Lou Who.
Cindy
Lou Who. So maybe a half point for Tyler on that one.
Mary Lou Who. I swear that was a character.
They needed to cast an Annie in that movie. and finally, we're back to the Santa Claus with Tim Allen for our final question. In the movie, The Santa Claus, what does Scott Calvin's son give him to remind him that he is Santa Claus? Audience on this, you feel good? No, there's a lot of shaking heads out there. Maybe not be as popular an answer. What item does Scott Calvin's son give him to remind him he is Santa? Tyler, what do you think? Snow globe? Cookies?
It's Santa.
Snow globe is the correct answer. Tyler.
Let's go.
And official scorekeeper says 6.5-3.
Borderline blowout.
Well done. Right. After this break, we've got some audience Q&A. Stay with us. BYU basketball with Kevin Young continues. Ho, ho, ho.
BYU basketball with Kevin Young is brought to you by Siegfried and Jensen, helping Utah families for over 35 years. Deseret Book, home to real-life stories of faith, grit, and hope. Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU athletics. Ken Garf, we hear you. And Brady Plus, delivering the right supplies plus support to ensure businesses are more successful.
BYU basketball with Kevin Young. Time now for some audience Q&A for the coach and Tyler Maruss. It is presented by Ken Garf, where we hear from you, the fans. And we have two fans here in studio with our studio mic for questions for the coach and or Tyler. Here we go.
Hey. Hi, well, my name is Jonathan. The question is for coach and for Tyler. We can answer. What is your favorite tradition, especially in these holidays?
Holiday traditions.
I'd say, well, I already said like the Christmas Eve opening a present the night before, but I guess like especially now, just like having my family around, just because my brothers are in college too now, so just, you know, having my whole family, my parents and my dog. So I would say that for sure.
Mine is having all my kids sleep on the same floor and then us getting to go wake them up on Christmas morning. I love that moment.
Love it. You mentioned brothers in college. Where are they at?
UW and sadly the University of Arizona.
Double boo.
Yeah, he's been talking a lot of trash. He's been talking a lot of trash.
Okay. On the schedule twice this year.
I know.
Yeah, okay. Yes, young man.
So my name is Lucas and I have a question for Tyler and coach. So I've recently noticed how you've been playing a lot of big games and big places like the Jazz Arena, and a couple weeks ago at the last week actually at what's it called again?
Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, yeah. Madison Square Garden, and there was a lot of big celebrities there. So my question for you is, what's the biggest celebrity you've played or coached in front of?
I did see at Madison Square Garden. I don't know if you know who Common is, but the rapper actor, I saw him. I was like, oh, I saw him in Silo. That's pretty cool. Yeah. I would say Paulo Banchero, though. He was the number one pick. Played against him many times. Definitely was not fun guarding him. But yeah, I would say Paulo for sure.
Okay, coach, you got lots to go to, I think.
Yeah, no, I've done it quite a few. I don't really get starstruck that often, but the two that have been like, okay, wow, that was cool, was Leonardo DiCaprio in L.A., and then around this other guy a lot in Philly, but Dr. J. He's like just a classy guy, and he just has this aura about him, just like pretty cool.
Tough to top Julius Erving in the basketball world. That's awesome. As we go to break, here's tonight's and one trivia question presented by Brady Plus. Providing Jansen, food service and packaging supplies, plus support. Brady Plus ensures businesses are more successful every day. Who are the only two freshmen to have scored 200-plus points in their first 10 games for BYU? The answer is coming up next. Stay with us. All right, we are back on BYU Basketball with Kevin Young. There's our trivia question, and the answer to this question, it's a guy we know pretty well because he's on the current team. Okay. A.J. DeBonsa, right, and Danny Ainge. Those are the only two guys to do it. And now that they're through 11 games, by the way, Danny's number through 11 is 243, and A.J.'s is 232. So now they're still pretty close on
there
this.
There you go.
All right, next up for BYU, it is game 3 of a 4-game homestand. We've got Abilene Christian coming to the Marriott Center on Friday night. You see the Wildcats are 7-4. On the year. They played at Arizona last night, and they come into Provo on Friday. Broadcast schedule for Friday's game, it'll be on TNT. I think Grant Hill is coming in for commentary. You'll have pregame and postgame coverage on BYU Radio and BYU TV. So the Cougars and the Wildcats coming up on Friday, and there you go. Plus the game coming up on Monday against Eastern Washington. All right, that's going to do it, folks. Thank you for being here. Coach, we'll see you soon. Happy holidays. Tyler, thank you.
Thank you.
Great having you. Have a great week, everyone.